you have your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 17. We are wrapping up Trail Leader today, putting Moses to bed. And honestly, we're prepping for next week as we engage in a new series called Stay True. We are doing an entire series on the book of Galatians. And if you have not yet got your scripture journal for the book of Galatians, we're encouraging everybody to get one. You can get one after the service over at our Connect Center. It's going to be cheaper than Amazon. We're just selling it for the at-cost price. We're not making a dime from it. Or you can order on Amazon Prime, get it in 2 days, and pay like $2 more. But we've only got a certain amount of supplies. What is it, $3? Actually, that's like $4 cheaper than Amazon. Take that, Prime. So get it only while supplies last. But I just would encourage you, it's more than just showing up and taking sermon notes in your scripture journal. The goal is that our Sundays are giving you the flyover, but the heart is to get you engaged into the book of Galatians and for you to read it yourself, write your own notes. Do some of your own studies. Every time we do a YouVersion sermon note structure, which you've got that right there on your app, some of you have noticed we've got readings that follow with every sermon that we do. And like, for example, today has a reading on Moses or a reading on Exodus. And what we'll do is we'll do the same thing with the book of Galatians, give you some readings, some things for you to do on your own. And what's cool is next year at this time, we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. The year after, the book of Philippians. The year after, the book of Colossians. Over the next 4 years, the next four falls, we're going to do all four prison epistles. And we're going to be a people that are just deep in the scriptures because we believe in the inspired scriptures. And we want to see the scriptures that have been breathed into to breathe into us. Someone say amen. I need y'all to talk to me today. I'm only on like 4 cups of coffee, so I've shorted myself this morning. So I'm going to need y'all's help today. Oh, Galatians. That's next week. Exodus. Lord, help us all. Exodus 17. If you're new here today, I was going to say, this is not the norm. Let's just be honest. This is the norm. This is what people put up with, a steady diet of Dave. God bless everybody. Exodus 17, verse 7, just one scripture that is going to really encapsulate. It's going to take up the entirety of what I'm going to talk about today. All right, I got to tell you, this is dude in Baltimore when we were preaching there 2 weeks ago. He goes, "Do you realize you make up words? I don't think you realize that." I'm like, "Oh, no, I do." I said, I have people in my congregation that keep a list, a running list, and everything that I make up, because that is who I am. All right. It says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? What a miserable way to name a place. He called the name Massah. Massah means testing. Meribah, which means quarreling. Imagine if we named churches after the issues of the people inside the church. I feel like I can go on a tangent right now, and I'm not going to. That's self-control. That's the Spirit of God. God be the glory. But seriously, folks, imagine if we took all of our issues and we said, let's put that on the church sign. Oh, Lord of mercy. They just put my face out there and they're like, oh, pass that by. Because of the quarreling and because of the testing, saying, is the Lord among us or not? The reason why I have pinpointed this one scripture in the midst of a litany of chapters that we could have ended on, because this is the ongoing question of the children of Israel when they have come out of captivity and before they get to the promised land, there is 240 miles, 40 years worth of wandering, leading, traversing, transitioning that they are going through. And this is the constant question that constantly comes up. Is the Lord with us or not? There's no better scripture to pull together what these people who have just been rescued dramatically, divinely, and because something doesn't go their way in the way that they think it should go. It's amazing. Aren't those to get mad at God when he doesn't do what you think he should do? Makes me mad all the time. God, he should do it the way I think he should do it because I know better. This is like, I just wrote somebody yesterday, if the lions would just call me, I could fix it all. And all I got was a GIF video that said, child, please. But I wonder if that's how God looks at us when we try to tell him what to do and then how to do it. Is God among us or not? Let's pray, because I feel like we need prayer today. Jesus, we just need you. We need your help. We need your strength. And Lord, my prayer over this Sunday is no different than the previous 10 years worth. Help us not to leave this place the same way that we have walked in. I'm not praying for one life change. I'm praying for 600 lives to be changed. Those maybe at home because of sickness or struggle or just fatigue that are watching on live stream, God, I speak life. I speak grace, and I believe that you're going to change and transform, not because of this preacher and his loud mouth, but because you are faithful when we are so often forgetful. You are faithful. So, Lord, meet us in the place of transition, Lord. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you in the house love waiting? I'm going to keep my hand down. That's a lie. Some of you, and if you raise your hand, you are the liar and the truth is not in you. None of us like waiting. Waiting just is not fun. Nothing fun about it. I just don't like waiting. Let me just admit it, that I don't like waiting. I don't like it. I don't want to wait. And when I call, I want to get somebody immediately. If I get a text, I want to get an immediate text back. Don't give me a thumbs up. I want a text back. Give me any other emoji, just not a thumbs up, because that's dumb. That's why I send tacos to people, because you can't get mad at tacos, and it just tells you I got your text. I don't like waiting. Now, if you're talking about like when you go to a restaurant, especially like yesterday, when we called ahead and we got there with ample time, and they still tell us it's another 15 minutes. What about when you go to the doctor and you've made an appointment? You made the appointment for 2:30 and then it'll get to you till 3:15. I don't like waiting. Or when you make a call and you get the worst music imaginable that is on there, it's like, hey, we're not only gonna make you wait, we're gonna give you the worst possible music to listen to while you wait, so it gets you as mad as possible before somebody actually talks to you. Would you think they put better music? One time I was on hold, and they actually had Huey Lewis and the News going. So I'm like enjoying it. And the lady goes, can I help you? I said, can you put me back on hold to finish the song? She goes, seriously? I'm like, I'm kidding. I was trying to brighten her day. And apparently when you explain your jokes, it's not so funny. So I remember the day I had to call and cancel cable. Anybody ever try to cancel cable? I had a plan, because I was calling on our way to Aldi, the place of smiles, and I wanted to be able to say, I'm canceling, oh, I got to get off the phone, I'm with my family. And when you call and you say, hey, I got to cancel the gym, I got to cancel cable, I got to cancel internet, I had already signed my contract with the other cable company, I had the plan. As soon as I got on, hey, I've already signed on with somebody else. I just need you just to stop my cable. And she goes, well, wait real quick. I need you to get to a cancellation specialist. I'm like, no, wait. Music. And I'm stuck. I'm like, I don't think it's canceled, so I can't hang up. And all I'm doing is I'm driving in traffic. I could tell you where I was at on West Inch when the guy picked up and began to say, I hear you're trying to cancel us. I'm here to help you not do that. I'm like, oh, it's on. At some point, we begin to shout at each other. And then what came out of his mouth was, I want you to write this date down as the date that you made the worst decision of your life. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, you've never listened to any of my illustrations because I've done far worse things than this. I didn't tell him I was a pastor, didn't tell him I was a Christian. I'm like, I about lost it. He's losing. He goes, fine, I'll cancel it. We'll see you in about a month or so. I'm like, I've never gone back to that company ever again yet because I'm frustrated with my own right now. So nothing worse than getting on. You get that terrible music and it's just developing the angst for what you just have to endure in order to get what you want. The title of the message was going to be called The Waiting Room, but the illustration itself gave me a different title, and I just called it this, The Soundtrack to My Waiting. The things that go through my mind and my life that begin to be the background music or the soundtrack to my waiting, that it can either develop an angst or an anticipation for what God does next. Like when I think about our inability to wait, I do think of Amazon Prime, where we order and we expect it in 2 days, and God forbid we have to wait an extra day because something happened. Like I think, oh, by the way, honey, I just got a notification that our thing got delivered today. I literally just got a Prime notification, sorry. But isn't that like right there, perfect illustration, the descriptor of our culture? We don't like to wait. We don't want to wait. We don't really enjoy any type of waiting that would inconvenience a moment. And we feel like we are perpetually living in a waiting room. If you've never been in a waiting room, then I don't think you have ever been alive. You might be a robot, but being in the place where you're just wondering what's going on, when are we gonna hear news? It is a virtual tough place to be at. And many times you just wanna get out of the waiting room and just to be in a different atmosphere because none of us want to be in a place of waiting. But many of us here, we can all say we've been in the place of waiting, waiting for a job, waiting for a spouse, waiting for better friends, waiting for community. And in our minds, if we just get the one thing, it'll make life better. If I just get a spouse, life will be better. I'm like, don't get any spouse. Find the right spouse. Don't just take any job. Find a job that you can be a hard worker and you can be faithful to. But we get this idea, if the waiting just ends, it's going to be okay. Moses is leading the people into what I call a season of transition. And it's a season that I think if we were to admit that all of us rarely look forward to, but many of us can honestly thank God for. Because I don't believe it's the mountaintop moments that actually form and shape our life. I believe it's actually the transitional moments. And how we handle the transition many times is the dictator on the type of blessings that we see, perceive, or even receive because of what God does in us. In fact, I want you to write down my main thought for today, and it's simply this. Whenever I face a season of transition, I must remember God is present, His promises are true, and He always provides. This is the 40-year truth of the children of Israel, is God is present, His promises are true, and He always provides. I want you to get that deep down in your soul today, because anytime you're going from the place of blessing, or maybe sometimes even the place of captivity, maybe you're in the place of addiction, maybe you're in the place of struggle, getting to the other side of things, it is something we call transition. It is that season that we all must go through and experience. But the one thing that we can always say is this, that no matter what I traverse through, God is present, His promises are true, and God will always provide because that is who He is. That's just who He is. Moses takes them on this journey. God takes them on this journey by having Moses lead them. 240 miles. Now, 40 years walking 240 miles, I bet you that you could kind of do a little bit of math and see how long it would take for you to walk a mile, and then he times that by 240, and now you've got 1.5 to 2 million people walking together trying to get to the promised land. But as we said last week, the destination wasn't really the end point. God was trying to do something in them more than what He was trying to take them to. And so 240 miles. So I looked up, what's 240 miles? And I look, and I'm like, okay, Columbus, Ohio. So I thought this was a great illustration. Because if you walk 240 miles like the Israelites, you could show up and say, hey, we're here. Is this it? This is not what we thought it was going to be. I'm like, perfect description of Columbus, Ohio. This is not what I thought it was going to be. We journeyed all the way for this. But again, you got to understand, the point of the journey was not necessarily to get them to a location. It was to grow something in them as the people of God, because they had to get out of the mindset that they were no longer people of slavery, people to be afflicted. They were people to live and to walk in blessing, because the promised land wasn't about a spot. It was to launch them into a place where they would truly become the people of God in the land of God. See, in the seasons of transition, we begin to ask ourselves, God, is this it? We got out of slavery. God, is this it? We got to the promised land. God, is this it? I think of Friday. Fridays are our date day. It's why I don't schedule things on Fridays. It's our date day. And let me just give some marriage advice today. Don't ever take a date to begin to dream about colors of paint. So go to Home Depot, let's just look at colors of paint of what the house could look like. Because the date may not end the way you think it's going to end. So last night I finished painting. So far, let's just admit, there are more colors picked, and we will never go back to Home Depot for a date ever again. But think about this. When we think about work, like I think about finishing up painting and then I'm gonna sit and chill. And we think that when God has brought us up out of something, that God's just done, that God is finished. But that's not God. Because every time God has finished working something in, he begins to work something out. And just because God has brought you up out of a bondage and has brought you into salvation, let me tell you something. He ain't done with you. He's got more planned for you, things in store for you. God has not brought you this far just to bring you this far. There is more for your life. There's more for your marriage. There's more for your workplace. God has got things that are exceedingly and abundantly more than you've ever asked or imagined. So stop thinking that just because God's finished one job that he's finished with you. You may have sat down. God has yet to sit down because he's got plans and purposes for you. This is the children of Israel. And the God who was faithful all 40 years. But just like we said in message one, which I know y'all remember message one, God is always faithful, but we are often forgetful. Because they got delivered 10 plagues. They literally have a cloud of smoke or just a cloud by day or fire by night to show them God's presence. And the second an enemy shows up, they forgot about what God did in the past. All they could see was what was in front of them. And all of a sudden they get across the sea and they find themselves in a place of transition where, okay, now we've got Egypt completely behind us, but in front of us, we've got this challenge, we've got that challenge. They forgot about the Red Sea. They begin complaining what they didn't have. They begin to get defiant toward leadership, and they begin to turn their back on Moses and specifically the Lord, because they wanted to really start making up their own rules. They wanted to live the way they wanted to live, which is why God gave them the Ten Commandments. Now, let's make a special note on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not there to bar the people in. The Ten Commandments was a way to give them, I want to do a series called Sandbox. And I want to talk about how the Ten Commandments, they are the guardrails around our lives that cause us to create in the middle of them the life that Jesus always designed for us to have. The Ten Commandments weren't there to clamp down, this is what you can't do. It was to release us into the life God always intended us to have. But yet the waiting made them wonder. Waiting made them wonder, is God done with us? Has God stopped working? Let's go to this one. Does God even care anymore? Have you ever been in a season of waiting and felt that way? I have. A couple weeks ago, I had one of those moments. This past week, I lost one of the football players that I coached back in Midland. A young man that I knew took his life, and I sat back and had this moment. That's two friends lost in a month to this devastating, devastating thing. And let me just say to any person that is struggling with internal pain, you are in a safe place. You're in a place that will love you, that will encourage you, a place that will surround you, speak healing to you, and speak hope into you, because we believe hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And yet that moment hits, and I'm just shocked to my core. And I have these questions that pop up in my head. God, are you working? Because when we have seasons of transition, leaving one place and going to another, these are the times where God, I'm gonna use this word specifically, seems silent. He's not always silent, but sometimes he seems silent. You see, our culture doesn't like silence. And I promise you, if I did the rest of the sermon with this low a voice, y'all would feel more awkward than you feel right now. Because we don't like silence. We don't like boredom. We crush as much things into our kids' lives because we don't want them to be bored. But I'm here to say, moms and dads, boredom may be the best gift you can ever give your kids outside of Jesus. Marriages, some of y'all need to get bored. Well, if we're bored, we got to talk to each other. Okay. We don't like silence, and we don't like those transitional times. We're in a culture that doesn't like to do nothing. One of the things that we have discovered has been one of the best gifts is when we look on an evening and we see nothing scheduled. And sometimes we need a little more nothing, because the time is when all of the distractions are away that we can actually hear that God has never been silent. We've just been covering up his voice with all sorts of distractions. You see, when we stop waiting on God to work, many times we take life into our own hands like the Israelites did over and over and over. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. And they got sick of waiting on God. So what did they do? They took life in their own hands. We're sick of waiting. We need to do this. Let's put life in our own hands. God gave us manna, and God told us how to navigate the manna, but we know better than God, so we're gonna save it for the next day. And God says, don't save the manna for the next day, because I'll give it to you fresh every single day. And they still didn't trust God and took life in their own hands, and they went through the mess that was that. But what happens is when we don't see the happenings and we don't see the things developing in the in-between time of life, we put everything in our own hands. And I'm here to tell you that God making us wait, or God putting us into the waiting room of life, is not because he hates us. It's not because he's ignoring us. It's not because he can't get to us, because those become the deepest spiritual places where God grows us. There's a book called When the Heart Waits. And this is such an amazing quote. We're gonna put it up on the screens. You need to see this. This is so good. The author says this: waiting is the in-between time. It calls us to be in this moment, this season, without leaning so far into the future that we tear out our roots from the present. When we learn to wait, we learn to experience where we are as substantial and precious in our life. I need to say that one again. When we learn to wait, we can learn to experience where we are as substantial and precious. Some of you think that where we're going is substantial and precious. I would argue where you are now is substantial and precious. Don't write off waiting periods, because I believe that's where God wants to meet you. God wants to grow you. God wants to develop you. There are deeper places that can happen only when we go through seasons of transition and waiting. Two thoughts I want to share with you is, number one, a season of waiting is the opportunity God uses to help us loosen our grip of control and to let him be God in our lives. When we go through waiting, it's our chance. Thank you, Sherry. It's our chance to let go of the moment and trust God and let God be God. Some of y'all need to learn to wait. Some of us are so bent on having it done, and we're like, well, I have anxiety if it's not about me. Let me just tell you, life isn't about you. The world turned before you, the world will turn after you. Life isn't about you, but how about putting our trust in the one who makes the world turn? And understand that there are seasons of transition, that God is not trying to punish you. Sometimes God's just trying to grow us. And it's the place where we can loosen our grip so that we can let God be God. And secondly, waiting is God's invitation for us to actively engage in a spiritual formation experience. Waiting is just as spiritual as lifting your hands and shouting during Waymaker. But you know what we do as charismatics? We put more stock in outer expression. And we think that's more because we see more. But what if we looked and realized that standing still in God's presence can do more than lead us forward, but actually put deep forward progress? Sometimes we need greater roots before we expect better fruit. Some of y'all need a sila on that. Some of us want God to do miracles out here, but we won't let God do deeper miracles here. God, perform miracles through me, but I don't want to deal with my own sin. God, raise the dead through my life, but don't deal with the stuff that are making me dead on the inside. God, do something in me. Do something through me. And I believe that God designed waiting is one of the greatest spiritual formation experiences that we can have. Scripture says, they that wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. Not they that get involved quick, and I'm not against getting involved, but say that wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. And one of the best places to learn the waiting is what we would call the wilderness. For Israel, it was a literal wilderness. And I'm telling you, there are moments in my life that have felt like a wilderness. I have seasons I go through emotionally that feel like a wilderness. There are seasons our church has gone through where it has felt like a wilderness. I got a good friend that called me a couple weeks ago, and he feels like his church is going through this wilderness, wandering time, wondering when the wilderness and that which exists in the wilderness will just end. These wilderness moments are seasons of loss and loneliness. They're seasons of looking for directions. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in the space of waiting, all I want to do is just get out of the waiting. Sometimes I just want to be active to feel like I'm doing something. Perhaps God has us waiting for a reason. But when I look back in the rearview mirror of life, they say that hindsight is 20/20. It says it somewhere in the Gospels. But when I look back in the rearview mirror of life, can I say this? In the past 43 years of my life, I could tell you where I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I could tell you where I initially gave my heart to Christ. I could tell you where I got serious about God and God radically transformed my life. I could tell you about moments where God just met me and just did this miraculous. I could tell you about the time I was on a worship team that they never turned me up on the microphone, and it's the only time I've been on a worship team. But I remember being on the worship team once, and I had a back injury from football, and God dramatically healed my back. But let me tell you this, when I look in the rearview mirror of life, it was not those moments that transformed me as much as it was the wilderness moments, because it's those moments where I went into wondering where was God, and the longer I waited and trusted in God, I began to learn those were the deepest moments of my life. Those are the deepest moments. At 15, being so angry at God about losing my infant brother and just so mad and just having this talking and wrestling match with God, that was a moment where I learned a trust in God that I have never known. It's not that God wanted that moment to happen for our family, but I've learned this, that sometimes in life we can't prevent pain, but I refuse to let pain paralyze my life. I just made up a word, paralyze my life. I'm here to say that God can leverage your pain and let it be a platform to show his glory in you and through you. Paralyzed. What in the world was that? It was a number of years ago, Ann and I were on a vineyard tour. I know I've shared this before. But it's the most mind-blowing illustration where I'm listening to this dude talk about the Robert Mondavi vineyards. And he says, we just take these fledgling little vineyards, or these vines, these little plants, these grape plants. And what we do is we find the toughest soil that is not very fertile. Because he says when the little fledgling plant has to work hard, it will produce the sweetest fruit. And the harder that vine works, it's not just the sweetest fruit, it develops into the greatest vintage. We can't have vintage without the waiting. We can't have the blessing without the transition. We have to know that the wilderness, there's something about the wilderness, the toughest and the deepest seasons of life where God reveals that to us. Exodus chapter 15 through Exodus 17, God provides for his people. Look at this. He provides bitter water to become drinkable. He provides quail meat. If you ever had quail, it's pretty good. He provides manna, chapter 16, verse 4, which was bread from heaven. He provides them water for a second time. He provides them victory over the Amalekites. I mean, this is just like the enemy. They're nothing but slaves. They don't even know what to do with a weapon. All they knew was how to build bricks. And the people of God are there, and the Amalekites come in, and God shows up and creates victory. And the people that didn't know how to fight or didn't know how to do, but one thing they knew is God was with them. You see, God is present, his promises are true, and he always provides. The wilderness season proved it over and over and over. We need something to drink, I'll give you something to drink. We need sustenance, I'll give you sustenance. We've got an enemy, it's okay, I'm gonna take care of things. He always shows up. You see, when God invites us to wait, he invites us to release our demands to his desires. And these waiting periods are a place for us to lay down our demands for the sake of God's desires. He invites us to release, to let go. And then all of a sudden, life happens again. I love how life just keeps happening. And then life invites another transition, another season. And then we get stuck in the place between our demands and God's desires. I don't know if you've ever been involved in that type of struggle. Sounds like most of my prayer times. Isn't that prayer? We are stuck in the place between my demands and God's desires. If only there was somebody that understood what it was like to be stuck in between. Wait a minute. There was somebody named Jesus who on the night of his betrayal bowed his knee at a stone and said, if it's possible, I would like this cup, this thing to pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. What I love about that prayer, it's what I would call a breath prayer. And I would invite you to say a breath prayer in the wilderness today, that if you're going through a season of struggle or transition, would you say a breath prayer? Because there's time that I'm inhaling. God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Your will be done. God, I don't know what's going on. This is what I need. This is what I feel like I want. Your will be done. I trust in you. Why? Because you provide, your presence is there, and your promises are true. Your will be done. And know that if you're in a waiting season, I want you to know that God has not abandoned you. Worship team, would you guys come out? I want you to understand, if you found yourself in a waiting season, it doesn't mean that God is punishing you. It doesn't mean that it's alone time without God. But I want you to understand that every type of transition is packed with kingdom purpose. Every transition season is packed with kingdom purpose. And we can trust God with the waiting. You can trust God with the waiting. You can trust him with waiting. I feel like I'm in the waiting room. You know what? I know the feeling, but you can trust God in the waiting, because God's transition seasons are packed with kingdom potential. You know what potential is? Potential is unrealized power. And I know some of us in the room don't like hearing about potential. You know when it was fun to hear about potential? When we were teenagers. When we were in our 20s. One of the first times I preached, hey, you've got potential. I'm like, was that not good? But hey, I got something in me. You know when we don't like hearing about potential? In our 40s, in our 50s, in our 60s, our 70s, our 80s, we just keep going. We don't like to hear about it because we feel as if we've been written off and we don't have time. But I would say until the last breath is out of our bodies, there is always potential for greatness. And God is not done. And you might be in a season of transition, but I want you to know that every season is packed with potential. And there are some things that I'm still waiting on for my own family. You've got lost family members? So do I. You got family members that need a miracle? So do I. You want things for this church? So do I. We ain't done yet. There are things I am still waiting on, but we could trust God in the waiting. Why? Because God is always, I will use that word, always at work in the waiting. Always at work. I don't have to see him at work to know he's at work. I used to work for somebody that whenever I heard his office door, I would grab the phone and act like I was more at work than I was before he walked down the hall. One time I had the phone upside down. I was so scared. No joke. But I want you to understand something. God doesn't have to impress you to try to tell you that he's at work. He is faithful, even when we are forgetful. He's always at work. My challenge this week is this: to choose to work with God by choosing to wait on God. Because some of the best work that you and I could do is simply working with him by waiting on him. I want you to write something down. Write these words down. I will work with God by waiting on God. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Good. Because sometimes we've got to let him be the enough. And there are times to walk in obedience, and there are times that we need to take initiative. But so many times we're so busy taking initiative, we never actually ask God for the direction. It's time to wait. Psalms 130. I wait for the Lord, and my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. This is such a beautiful thing. If you went to Israel with us 4 years ago, this was one of the first devotions I did with us on the bus. I love the scripture. Why? Because it says, more than watchmen wait for the morning. You know what's cool for the watchmen? Is they didn't look for the morning hoping the morning was going to come up. You know what happens every morning? The morning happens. And the psalmist says, like watchmen don't wait hoping, is it gonna show up today? Is the sun gonna rise today? Is it gonna happen? The watchmen look knowing it will happen. And we can be in a season of waiting. We don't have to wait and wonder. We can wait and look and know that God is always faithful. Bow your heads with me.